Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Sarah.
This is Jenna.
And this is Heartly Broken. And today we're going to be talking about the quote, marriage is not 50-50, divorce is 50-50. Marriage has to be 100-100. It isn't dividing everything in half, but giving everything you've got. We'll be talking about what 50-50 leads to in a marriage, like if both or one or both partners approaches their marriage like that, and then we'll be talking about our like examples and our perception of what a 100-100 marriage is about. And then we've also got a DIY for you at the end. We're going to be focusing on a DIY face scrub, and Jenna has a recipe for an all-natural bronzer, so look forward to that. So when you first heard this quote, Jenna, what first came to mind?
Okay. Whenever Sarah pitched this to me, this idea for this show, she had told me this quote before, and I immediately agreed with it. But this time, when she had texted me this quote again, the first thing that came to mind was 100-100 being your heart. Both
yeah.
people have to have their completely whole heart in the marriage and in their relationship.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you think about it, it's hard to be 100% every day as a whole person.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Like if you're sick or if you're in a bad mood or like you go through a loss or just whatever, you're not going to be 100%. But what I just see it as is in a relationship, you are fully, you know, committed to this person with your heart. And,
yeah.
and you know, it's not going to always look the same.
Right.
You know, it's going to look
Everyone,
different in a
yeah,
lot in
sure.
a lot of different ways. But, you know, like if you are sick,
mm-hmm.
you can't do anything for the other person.
Right.
But if you have, you know, your whole heart committed to them, that's the point. That's
exactly.
what you're supposed to have. Because
yeah.
even if you were like 80%, they're going to notice and you're not going to, you know, you're going to notice. And it's just, It doesn't work like that. Your
yeah.
marriage is going to have a lot of problems.
Right.
Or just a relationship in general.
Right.
You know, if you're thinking about somebody else or if you're thinking about, you know, well, maybe I could do this and, you know, or if you get caught up in your hobbies or whatever, the other person's going to notice, okay, they're not giving me their whole heart.
Yeah,
enough.
Exactly. Because
where your heart is, you know, the person's going to
yeah.
be able to tell. So that's what I thought of.
That kind of reminds me of love language. We were talking about love language before. I think we might have talked about it in the park. I think about that park conversation a lot because it's what got us going down this road. And I think having these conversations with Jenna has helped me a lot in my separation and more just starting the actual divorce process. So, but love language, that's about that, and I haven't read the book. I guess there's a book about
yeah,
it. But,
I've read it.
Mm-hmm. But the gist of it, at least the way I understand it, is that different people show that they love each other in different ways. And sometimes this can cause conflict because if one person shows love in a service way, doing things for the other person, and their spouse shows love by buying things, then that can cause conflict. But if you understand each other's love language and if you understand that the other person is giving 100%, it's just not in the same way that you're giving 100%, then I think that understanding can help. And I don't think a lot of things that we hear about marriage and about love, they don't really talk about that. They kind of make it seem like you show love, like everyone should show love in one way.
Yeah.
And if you're not, or what I hate is when people talk to women and they say, if your husband or if your boyfriend isn't doing this and this and this and this and this, then they don't love you.
Yeah.
And your husband or boyfriend.
Statement.
Exactly. And it just, oh, it just irks me.
I've read the book, and it actually, I thought it was really good because it's saying that, you know, if you're speaking a language and the other person doesn't speak that same language, you're not going to understand each other. It was just like in
mm-hmm.
general,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and that's true because, you know, how you show love is often how you feel loved in the same way. So if somebody, is buying things for another person, but the other person doesn't feel loved in that way, which I don't.
Yeah,
if somebody gives me a present, I'm just like, well, thank you, but that's not how I feel loved.
Yeah.
But, that's probably how they feel loved. So if somebody is often doing something and it's kind of specific in that way, that's usually how they feel loved. So it's good to, just read the other person and just try to understand where they're coming from, because even though you don't appreciate it, or you don't, or you may appreciate it, but even though you don't feel love in that way, they might. So it's, that's where communication is.
Exactly.
Because if you don't feel love in that way, if you're like, well, I appreciate you buying me this, but I'd rather spend time with you, because that's how I feel love. So that's mine.
Right.
So that's what I would say.
Well, and I don't think it's about making the other, your spouse, show you that they love you in your own terms.
Right.
Like if my spouse is a service person, and I'm not, but if I was a material, a gift person, mm-hmm. it's not that I would try to make him give me gifts, because you can, I can give him gifts to show him that I love him. He can spend time with me to show me that he loves me. But then if he's not giving me gifts, I can say, I feel loved when you give me a gift. And then being honest can let that person know that, how to show you they love you.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's not about changing the person, I think. Not about changing the person or making that person show you they love you in different ways. Because even if you're a service, or if you're a spend time with me person, you could be the one to schedule the time. And then all your spouse would have to do is just set aside the time. They don't have to be the ones to initiate the service.
That's true. Because if you're waiting around for that person to do what you want,
exactly.
you're going to be waiting around for a while because they don't understand, or they have a
different
love language, which is
exactly
that was in my case because I'm such a spend time with me person, and my ex was not, and so he was a service person, so we were not speaking the same language. So I'm just sitting there on the couch. That's what I was thinking of with the 100-100, is I'm sitting on the couch all the time, and he was on the computer all the time. And I was upset because I'm like, you won't spend time with me, but he's just like, it's not that big of a deal to me because we're in the same room. Why are
right,
we're
exactly.
not?
Yeah.
Okay, it's just speaking a different language. So, but if you tell the other person, I'd really like it if we could spend time together, or I'd really like it if, you could pick up such and such for me, that would really help me. And the person outright refuses, then you have a problem.
Yes.
Because that is not 100-100.
Yes.
Because when you are in a relationship with somebody, you have to give to them, and that's a gift, and you can, make your needs known, but if the other person refuses, then, you're going to have a lot of problems.
Yeah.
But I think that's just, I think a lot of people who get married, they have the intention of, I want to be with this person, and I do love you, but if they don't know how to, that's where... Communication. It's all about communication.
It is. I mean,
so important.
That's what it always comes back to with me too. And you can solve, in my opinion, you can solve any problem just by being open and honest and being willing to work through. And we can come back to this, but what are some things that a 50-50 relationship leads to? We talked about the first thing that came to my mind was resentment. Because if you're only giving 50% and your spouse is only giving 50%, you have this, 50 plus 50 equals 100%. But in a relationship, when you're doing that, you have this gap in between. It doesn't, 50 and 50 in a relationship does not equal 100%. In math, maybe, but not in a relationship.
Right.
And so you have this gap that you never fill. And I think probably what happens when you get to the resentment stage is that you start to hold back even more, because you think, well, I'm doing all of this and my spouse isn't, or not just a spouse, but significant other isn't doing enough, so I'm not going to do enough.
Oh, yeah, I've totally done that before.
Yeah.
I've totally done that. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, that's how it goes.
And it, I mean, it's good that you admit that, and I know I've done that too.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just kind of a, I don't know, it's kind of a natural thing to do, because when you're in that situation, you don't really know what to do. But so the other thing I think that 50-50 relationship leads to is compromise. And a lot of people talk about compromise like it's this great thing and that everyone should strive for compromise, and I just don't see it. You really can't have a relationship based on compromise, because what ends up happening is both of you are sacrificing a lot. You're sacrificing time, you're sacrificing emotion, you're sacrificing dreams and desires, and you're sacrificing yourself when you compromise.
I agree with you.
And then you get into the situation, like what would happen with my husband and I a lot is, you know, we would disagree on something. It doesn't matter what it is, just we would disagree. And he would be like, all right, well then you got this, and this last time, and so now it's my turn to get what I want, pretty much. I mean, he didn't say those exact words. That's what he meant. That was what was implied. And I just want to hit people when they say, oh, just come to a compromise. No. So then what's the opposite of compromise? Understanding? Communication?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Because that, whenever I read, because Sarah has this note and it says compromise underneath the 50-50, whenever I read it, I just read it as, oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
You know, because just sitting next to the word marriage, that was terrible. Compromise looks
exactly
ugly to me.
Yeah.
Because that means, and what I see it again as, is you're compromising yourself and your heart and your soul.
Yeah.
And, like, that is not something to be compromised in a relationship. Maybe in other ways, or, like, with, you know, friends or with family or whatever, but not in a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
No, that is not supposed to be, you know, a key part of it. And if you do have that, you aren't going to have a full relationship. And, you know, kind of going back to what you were saying earlier about the love language and making another person or trying to change that other person, I recently clicked on this link for, I think it was like a rabbit trail. I just kept clicking on it, which I do a lot. Like, I'll read an article, and there's one that's on, I'm like, oh, and I click on that, and then I read that, and then I do it again and again and again. So anyway.
And that's the whole thing.
Yes. Oh, man, I'm sorry for that. But anyway, it was talking about keys to a lasting relationship and, like, what people who have long-lasting relationships do or don't do.
Mm-hmm.
And on that list was, you are not trying to change the other person.
Yeah.
And I just went, wow, that's such a good point, and that's so great, because you shouldn't be. I've heard so many people talk about that, like, oh, you've got to change that about that person, or you've got to change your husband, or what? Why are you even with this person if you want to change them?
Exactly.
Are you supposed to accept them and even their flaws, or just work around them if they, you know, they do stuff that drives you nuts? Like, you know, because everybody's going to have stuff like that
that
you don't like. So that's what the 100-100 means, is you are fully accepting this person as they are, regardless of their junk or baggage or their quirks or, you know, just crazy stuff that they do or whatever. It's like you are fully just committed to them with your heart. I mean, that's the point.
Exactly.
Because then you'll be fine.
Yeah.
If you have your whole heart in it, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
If the other person does, you're going to be fine.
And it's not that simple.
Hard.
I know, it's not
it's
that
really
hard.
It's really not.
And we're kind of delving into a different topic, one I think we'll expand on in another episode. But I came across an article that was something about 14 ways to bring honesty into current relationships, like into modern relationships. And he was talking about the fact that so much of what is going around in the dating world, articles, just people talking, is you there are rules, and relationships are a game, and you have to know what you have to know what these rules are. And if you like that person, don't show it. You can't show it.
I've seen articles like that where it's
3 days.
The text that or do this or do that, and I hate that too, because I got it. You know, I've gotten into dating as well, and I'm just like, it shouldn't be a game. It's not a game. A relationship is not a game. Then that's not a relationship.
Exactly.
That's a whole other thing.
That's a whole other monster.
That is a monster. That's disgusting, and I don't understand it. And I don't like it, because I kind of dated, but see, the thing is he was like, well, I don't want to call it anything. You know, I don't like labels, or it takes me a long time to blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, you're either in this or you're not. I don't understand this whole, I don't want to call it dating.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what is it? What? This is so stupid. Yeah, I hate that.
I think all of these articles and books have made people afraid to show other people that they care about them.
And I think that was the specific guy's problem, mm-hmm. is because after I told him, you know, I'm just, forget it, I'm done. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can't even call it anything, then what's the point? And
exactly.
So a little bit later, he was like, I'm really, you know, he explained, and I didn't ask him to, but he just did on his own. He's like, you know, I got really afraid, because I actually realized, you know, that I liked you and blah, 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 and it scared me, you know, and all this stuff. So I was just like, okay, well, that's weird. You know, it's like, well, how do you expect to have a relationship then if you're that afraid?
Yeah.
Tell the person that you really, you know, maybe you've been hurt before or something like that. But that's no excuse. I mean, whatever.
you've actually touched on another part of this article that I really, really liked. He was talking about how, and we'll find the article and post it on Facebook, on our Facebook page. But he was talking about how when, for some reason, when people get into a new relationship and they do something, like you said, everyone has flaws, everyone has their demons, everyone has their barriers and their things they need to overcome. But when you get into a relationship with someone else and you continuously refer to your past as the reason for your behavior in the present,
mm-hmm.
that's not a very good thing.
No.
And
not healthy.
No. And I think that also leads to a lot of marriages and relationships that are 50-50, because then you're in this situation where you feel that you have a right to act a certain way or to react a certain way to your spouse because of what you went through in the past, not realizing that your spouse also has had experiences in the past, but you know, they're probably not using that as an excuse.
Exactly. And that reminded me, whenever I took some counseling classes last year, they were saying that if you are with, you know, this new person, and all of a sudden you're being triggered from the past, like, you know, past relationship or whatever, they said to say out loud 3 times, I'm sure it's just, you know, the repetitive kind of solidified, but they were just saying, just remind yourself that this person is not that other person from your past.
Sure. Yeah.
You are not so-and-so, you know, it's like, you have to remember that, and I've been going through that as well, because I'm dating someone, and, like, there have been times where I just feel like, oh, no, you know, this feels like, and then I have to remember, okay, he is not somebody from the past, you know, he is a totally different person. And you kind of have to remind yourself that, you know, you're in this relationship, you're choosing to trust this person, you know, and if you can't trust them, don't, why are you with them?
If you can't trust them, to be honest, like that's the thing that gets me, and it kind of got me in my relationship with my husband, and even since we've been separated, because I've made the decision, the decision to be honest with him, no matter what, no matter if I think he's going to use it against me, no matter if I think it's just not going to matter, no matter if I think he's going to lie to me, I'm going to be honest with him.
Yeah.
And I've been open with him about things that I didn't have to be. Like, well, I probably shouldn't get into that, but, well, things about the process of divorce and just explaining to him what he should expect and all this stuff, and that's not my responsibility, but
right.
If you feel that being honest with your spouse is going to make them mad at you, that is a really bad situation, and
yeah.
it doesn't happen in just marriages. It happens with friends, family, whatever, but, you know, marriage is kind of a trickier thing than family and friends.
So let's say you've already been in a marriage for any amount of time,
mm-hmm.
right? And you feel like right now it's 50-50, and you're
yeah.
kind of the blah, you know,
yeah.
had a rough patch, maybe it's a really long rough patch, or you're not feeling it,
yeah.
basically.
Right.
And that's what I went through as well. And what I decided was I read that love languages book, and I knew what my, you know, what my ex's love languages were. So I decided, you know, I decided, it was a choice. I am going to show him love in the way that he feels love, even though it feels really weird to me, because
yeah,
that's not
sure.
how I feel love.
Yeah.
Like, doing things for you, like, sure, that's nice, but what, you know?
Yeah.
So I just decided, you know what, I don't care. Our relationship is so terrible, maybe this will help. So I'm just going to do it. So I did. I just started, you know, doing the things that I knew he would appreciate and would make him feel loved. And that way, when it was all over, I knew that I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah,
and I was fully committed to him. I was in it 100%, like, with my heart, with everything. So at the end of it, I realized, you know what, I gave it my all. And some people have tried to tell me, they have told me, well, you know, your relationship failed because of you too. And I just do not agree with them. I'm sorry, but if one person's giving 100 and the other person's giving 50, it's the other person's fault. I'm sorry. I know a relationship takes two, but hello, it takes two.
That's
the other person
yeah.
has to meet
exactly.
you there.
Yeah.
And if they won't and they refuse,
yeah.
what are you supposed to do? But at least you would know, you know,
right.
I gave it my all.
Right.
And
yeah.
and that's why I have no regrets, because even since I've been separated for 16 months now, he hasn't done a thing to try or, and so I know I did the right thing. And,
yeah.
and it's funny because I did not realize that other men looked at me until I actually left him. And I've been gone, like, I've left him for, like, a couple of months. And then all of a sudden I started realizing, and, like, he was kind of out of my head at that point, you know? Like, I stopped thinking about him, you know, so much. And then I realized, oh, my gosh, wow, people, like, look at me, you know, like, oh, wow, I didn't even know that. And then that made me feel good, too, that I didn't even notice while I was with him. Because
yeah.
I had my heart in it.
Exactly.
And I was committed
yeah.
to him, even though, you know, it wasn't reciprocated, even though
yeah.
he didn't treat me well. Like, I still had, you know, so that's what you can do is just, you know, try to give your all to that person, because that's the point.
Right.
I mean,
right.
if you're not, what are you doing?
Exactly.
You know, because it's a relationship, and it's an important one, so.
So if anyone's listening who feels like they have a 50-50 marriage, what could they do? You said that you read this love language
mm-hmm.
book, and so tune into your spouse
mm-hmm.
and try to figure out or just come out and ask them, what do I do that makes you feel the most loved?
Yeah, yeah.
And then commit to it, because
yeah.
you have to commit. And it's a choice.
It is.
And just be open and honest, I think. I mean, that's really the first step. There's really no magic pill. There's no science.
And even if the person doesn't ask you the same.
Yeah.
Even if they don't go,
yeah.
well, what do I do that makes people, you know, maybe you don't really have a great relationship. So what? Do your part. And then
exactly.
maybe it'll change their attitude, and then they'll go, okay, wow, what can I do for you? You know, or it'll
yeah.
it'll spark something.
That, That reminds me of Frozen.
Aww.
That, I know Jenna doesn't like Frozen, but I...
It's not kind of cute, but I like Tangled better.
I like bits and pieces of Frozen. And one of my favorite parts is the song about love. Not Love is an Open Door, not that one. The one that the trolls sing. I forget what it's called now. But the one part that I really, really like is where the mother troll is saying that they're not saying that love can change people. But love is powerful and it's strong, and people make bad choices when they're mad or scared or stressed. But when you throw a little love their way, you bring out their best. So it's not about changing the person. It's about bringing out the best in the relationship and bringing out the best in both of you.
Yeah, I agree.
And
absolutely. And sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say it's not that complicated.
It's really not. It's really not. And, okay, I thought of something that I heard a lot of women complain about, and I heard this other radio show talking about it as well, where this woman who's been widowed, she was talking about when her husband was alive, he was always sitting on the couch every night watching TV, and it drove her crazy, and it made her mad. And she would refuse, you know, to use him, and, like, in the family, she was just like, oh, you're always on the TV. And I hear a lot of women complain about, oh, my husband's always doing this. He's always playing video games. He's always doing this. Okay, the woman said, you know what? I wish I would have just stopped and just went and sat by him.
Yeah.
And just watched TV with him. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that was such a good idea. And I was like, I actually suggested this to a friend recently because she said her husband's always playing video games. And I'm like, this may sound weird and you may stop at this, but why don't you just try to play a video game with
him? Exactly.
Like, why not? Just meet the person where they are. Like,
exactly.
Who cares? What are you going to lose? Like,
yeah.
Oh, you're going to lose your pride right now.
Yeah.
That you're, well, they're always doing this.
Yeah.
Okay, well, why don't you try joining them? Maybe that's something they really like to do. Or maybe it's an escape because they don't know if they can trust you. Well, or they're, you know, unhappy or whatever. Just try to meet them where they are.
And
you know?
It's so much easier to do that.
Then
it is to be mad.
Because you're not going to change that person.
Exactly.
It's not about changing them. It's about meeting them where they are and trying your best. So, you know.
All right, we got about 2.5 minutes left. Man, this is fast. Okay, so our DIY today is I'm going to tell you how to make a face scrub, and it's really easy, and we'll get through it really fast. So you do equal parts of sugar and some kind of oil. I really like almond oil. You can also use olive oil, coconut oil, safflower, sunflower oil. Any of those oils is good. So mix that together. Then add a teaspoon of vitamin E. You can either get this in a bottle and you pour it out, or you can get the capsules and you have to break them open. And then a tablespoon of baking soda. And then you can add 5 to 10 drops of essential oil. I really like lavender for the face. And it's really cheap. It costs like $1 to make as opposed to going out and buying $50 scrubs out there. And this is microdermabrasion, so it's going to get rid of your dry skin and make your skin really, really soft. And I suggest only using this once a week. And then someone's got one.
That sounds awesome. I love lavender.
Me too.
And a natural bronzer, which I saw a friend, I think she posted about it quite a while ago. But I just went, what? That is nice. Okay, so she said she just took, you know, like a compact, like an empty compact or whatever, and she put cinnamon and a little bit of nutmeg in it, and then used the brush and then bronzed her face with it. And I just thought, what? You got to be kidding. It can't be that easy. So... I just decided, okay, well, I guess I'll just try it. So I lifted open the cap on the cinnamon, and there, you know, there's dust kind of on the inside of it. So I just used my finger, got a little off, and then put it on my face, and I was like, wow, that looks
that is
really
so cool.
Great.
We should do that and post pictures.
Yeah, we'll do that.
All right.
Yeah, that could be. So, anyway.
All right, well, we hope you enjoy the show. We've got about 30 seconds left. We're kind of talking about ways to get this show on every single week. So we'll post updates about that on our Facebook page. And we'll also put a link to the article that we've been talking about on the Facebook page. And also, I'll come up with a pretty graphic or something for the quote because it's a really great quote. I think it's I think if everybody followed this quote, there'd be no more divorce. All right, well, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again next time.
Bye.